Hi, everyone. My name is Benno Papari, and this is the Songwriters on Process podcast. Since 2010, I've interviewed over 300 songwriters about, well, their songwriting process. I don't care about favorite cities, tour stories, favorite foods, or anything like that. My goal has always been to treat songwriters the same way that we treat poets and more traditional prose writers. They are writers, plain and simple. In these interviews, we go deep into the specifics of the writing process. This is no, hey, do you start with the lyrics of the music type of interview. Now, a little bit about me. I'm not a songwriter. In fact, I've never written a song in my life. I have a PhD in English language and literature, and I'm a former academic. So as a prose writer, I enjoy exploring how my process intersects with those of songwriters. This is an intelligent conversation about writing between two writers. And that, of course, means we talk a lot about books. The site features interviews across all genres, from metal to jazz, from country to that big category known as indie. You'll find a couple of A-list actors on the site and several members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as well. Now, I select songwriters to interview who fit into one of two categories. One, do I listen to them already? And two, if I don't, would they make for a compelling and intelligent interview? You can find these interviews across all podcast platforms, as well as at songwritersonpodcast.com. Do you have an idea for an interview or a comment about the site? Hit me up at ben@songwritersonprocess.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy. And today we have Charlie Martin and Will Taylor from the band Howdy on the podcast. But first, a shameless plug. You'll be hearing a few more of these in the next couple of months. The book I co-wrote with my good buddy Mark Morton from the band Lamb of God, that book is called Desolation, a heavy metal memoir that comes out in June 24th, I believe, on Hachette Books. You can pre-order it everywhere, wherever you want to pre-order it. It's there. Desolation, a heavy metal memoir by Mark Morton with Benno Papari, that is me. Comes out in June. It's a great book. Of course, I'm biased, but check it out. So with that plug out of the way, Charlie Morton and Will Taylor from the band Howdy, their album Howdy comes out, next April, or I should say next month, on Arts and Crafts Records. And I'm a big fan. We had a fun conversation, talked about emotional distance from topics. Do you need distance to be able to write about it? Hemingway famously said, yes, he could never write about Paris when he was in Paris. He needed that distance. But when it comes to events, do you need distance or do you need immediacy? We addressed that. And then we also talked about the particulars of our revision processes. I'm a prose writer, not a songwriter. And so I have my ways I like to revise. When it comes to songs, that's different. And we talked about the things they like to do when they revise lyrics and how they go about that. So talked about reading, of course, all that good stuff. So again, the album is called Howdy. The band is called Howdy. And it's out next month, April, on Arts and Crafts Records. So again, here is Charlie Martin and Will Taylor from Howdy. So Charlie, you're the first one on my screen here. So we'll start with you. Are you an everyday type of writer or just write when the mood strikes? I find that songwriters kind of fall into two categories, those that don't force the issue and some that say, doesn't matter how bad it is, you got to force the issue.
Yeah, I would say not every day. I think every day I'm kicking an idea along, you know, like maybe just like one song, you know, and I'll try to just like touch on it. But it does tend to be like a little bit, hard to say, like deadline oriented, but sort of like the natural like ebbs and flows of our writing process. Like we just, you know, I feel like as soon as we drop a record, that's kind of when I enter that like new frame of mind of, all right, time to get busy, you know? But yeah, it's really not every day. It's definitely like when the mood strikes.
And that doesn't bother you? Like you don't feel anxiety over, gosh, it's been a few days, I really should be writing?
Yeah, it kind of does. Like I can say I've never struggled with like what feels like writer's block, but I have had like plenty of times where I was like writing a lot more and other times when I'm writing a lot less. So I don't know. But yeah, I feel like in general, when I have felt like, okay, I need to finish this song, it comes together. And I kind of like that pressure.
Yeah. Will, how about you? Are you an everyday person or just when the mood strikes?
Yeah. I mean, I've gone in seasons of taking on the responsibility of trying to do something every day. And a lot of times it's proven to be nice, whether it's just create a little musical piece to then revisit, like just something, you know, but it's really more of a mood thing. It's seasonal too. I'll go months without writing a song completely. And then at like this season where we're trying to finish up all the assets for our, you know, for our new album and like in that mode and on the road, we don't tour in a bus. So we don't have a lot of like time to sit with the guitar. So yeah, it really is just seasonal and I've kind of followed intuitions. And a lot of times, like Charles said, there's like, you know, there'll be five songs in 5 days and then there'll be, you know, 3 weeks with no song. So,
yeah.
Wait, so when you say seasonal, so are there literal seasons of the year when you find that you're just more productive?
I don't know if I have it all mapped out as to which season's more productive and which season's less productive. I think it just depends on our schedule and my schedule and then the amount of free time I have, you know. Mm-hmm. We do other things other than the band as well. We try to write songs for other people and we also have other endeavors. And so it is interesting in that, in like experiencing kind of trying to expand what it means to like get some work done in the music every day, but seasonally for sure for me, for Howdy at least.
Okay. So last follow up on that. So is there an ideal emotion when you're most effective?
Yeah. I'd say for me, you know, on for better or for worse, it is usually inspired by hard feelings, you know, anxiety, grief, et cetera, et cetera. Just like when I feel like I need to write, you know, like for me, you know.
You need to express something out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So grief is a good, I mean, again, I think that can be difficult for some people because, mm-hmm. you know, grief is you're grieving, you're depressed. That's, we don't feel like writing, but I guess Charlie, for you, is that a space that you find you can be productive in?
I think, I mean, to be honest, this new record was my first experience, writing in that mode. Like I lost my grandpa and he was sort of the backbone of like my dad's side of the family. And I happened to be in Mississippi during that time, like while he was in the hospital. So I was with him and with my dad and my grandma. And it was like, you know, and in a lot of ways, I mean, it was a situation. There's obviously like such a wide spectrum of grief and what happens in people's lives, you know, tragedy, to the other side of the spectrum. I think in this case, it did feel like an immense sadness, but also like a growing process and like a process of like becoming closer to feeling closer to him, feeling closer to my grandma, my dad. So, you know, when those feelings are like so overwhelming, I did feel that, you know, in a couple instances, just like sit at the piano and it just kind of pours out.
So it was like an urge to write. You felt like I need to, was it natural or was it, I have to do this? Like a conscious decision, if that makes sense.
It was almost like a way of medicating how I was feeling.
Yeah.
To be honest. And then with the hope of like, ideally like what I create here feels like a celebration, feels like a way of honoring this person, you know?
Yeah. Will, how about you? Is there an ideal emotion when you are your most effective as a writer?
I think reflection is a big one for me. Like, and that can kind of hit in like a lot of different ways. It could be reflecting on a great time in life. It could be reflecting on the, you know, like a challenging relationship and reflecting on this and that. And the emotions that go with that, there's a broad spectrum. But it's a lot of looking back. I feel like there is kind of a through line with the lyricism of our band in the themes of like reflection, looking back, taking it in a new way. And so, yeah, I mean, I feel like I tend to write more so when I'm in a moment of appreciation or of understanding, where I feel like I have my like head wrapped around something, but the way for me to understand it a little bit more is to put it out there. And you know, through Seasons of Life, I write sometimes writing more directly lyrically, and then sometimes using kind of like abstract examples to get the point across. But I think this record is exciting for me and for us because there is a lot of direct lyricism, which was a nice challenge. I think it's something that we wanted to do going in was to be more upfront and like and pull back instrumentation and like let the lyrics kind of drive the situation a little bit.
Do either of you journal? I mean, I like both of your responses made me think about journaling tends to be a way that, you know, to kind of work through ideas, but do you journal?
No, I don't journal. We have a bandmate, Ben, who does vigorously journal on tour. I mean, for hours, it's pretty incredible. No, I don't. I mean, I'm a bit of a scattered person, and I don't like, you know, my shit's kind of everywhere, and I have something notes, and I have stuff written down here. So there are, you know, in my phone, there's little scrapplings of journaling, but it's pretty much like sit down with a guitar and like hum and play and sing and like feel the things that come out and then find the words. I don't like carry words with me as much maybe as I could or should, you know? So
yeah. How about Charlie? Do you journal?
Yeah, no, I never have. I feel like songwriting is the closest I've ever got.
Yeah, I it's funny. There's the songwriters say I don't, and I have no desire to. And there's some who say I do, and then there's some who say I don't, but I really, really wish I did.
Right.
The other thing I wanted to say was I haven't heard this response in a long time, but the number of songwriters who tell me that the best emotional state to write from is when they're hungover, I don't know how. That I could never do that, but there was something about that sensation of being like
pressed, like,
yeah, like you can feel your head. We couldn't describe it because it's like you're only thinking about your inner, like you're not focusing on the outside, you're like so inside yourself. I find that so interesting that's an answer I get a lot.
That's really interesting. I wouldn't have asked that,
yeah,
because it's a physically challenging moment.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I can sort of relate because I can recall like a number of times on the road where I've like felt not hungover, but just like bad, like that day. Like maybe I was like battling, like just, we call it like the tour crud, just like when we all get like a little bit sick. I've had like shows that I've played where like all day I was sort of like anxious, not feeling well, just like nervous about like, am I getting sick? And then like get on stage. And I mean, I'm sure most of it is just adrenaline, but it truly is a feeling of like being healed by like the music. It's not kind of like that's again, just like when you really need it, like, you know, is
the rock healed you.
It's true. Sometimes it does.
Charlie, on that idea, and I'll ask Will this next, but Charlie, we'll start with you. Do you, you know, Hemingway famously said you have to have distance to be able to write about something. You can never write about Paris when he was in Paris. And, you know, I think he was talking obviously about that kind of physical distance, but when it comes to those events in your life, do you need distance to be able to write about it, or you're stronger in the immediacy of the moment, like right afterwards?
I think the distance helps a lot, you know, especially with like childhood stuff. You know, I feel like a lot of, especially our early material, you know, was dealing with things that happened in my family when I was like 12, you know? And yeah, I think that's very true, you know, and in most cases. And then in other cases, you know, I've had recently a day where I was just like very anxious, or like, you know, just home life was stressful, and like I felt inspired to pick up the guitar, you know.
But with grief, I think grief is something that do you need time to process that too?
No, I mean, in just in the case of my grandpa, I mean, I wrote Make You Proud while he was in the hospital. I wrote Song for Pete literally the day he passed away, you know? So yeah, I guess it functions in different ways for me.
Yeah. How about you, Will?
Yeah. I mean, like I said earlier, I tend to find kind of my best lyrical angles when I'm looking back and when I'm reflecting on something, you know, that from the past, whether it's last year or not. But yeah, I mean, I would say that I'm not the best, and even in my like day to day, I'm not always the best at like grasping the range of emotions in real time. And so, you know, I've had to work on that, and in my own life with my kid. And so there is a lot of power in like some distance for me personally in the songwriting process. And I think it offers a clear perspective. And I mean, I think there can also be an argument for there's magic in the lack of clarity, you know, that responding to something very quickly, I'm sure has an emotional, something is there emotionally that maybe wouldn't be there 6 months down the road, you know? So, but just speaking for me, I like to reflect, and usually that takes some time.
So, well, I'm going to stick with you with this because you mentioned voice memos, and then Charlie asked you the same question. But I feel like there are some questions I always ask songwriters because I love the different responses. But the voice memos on the phone, that there's never any organization to them, and there are hundreds, and they're just all on the phone, and there's no, and there's like, where is that voice? Where's that riff? Where's that melody? Where's that lyric? And scroll, scroll, scroll. So is there any organization at all to those things on the phone?
Not very good. I mean, I tend to label the ones that are solid, and so, you know, just a song name or a lyric. And so those stick out because the rest are called, you know, like new memo 6,422.
Right.
And then if it's like very, very notable, then I'll put like some kind of visually striking like emoji, like three red fire trucks or something next to the good one. So I can just like catch it with my eye red while scrolling.
Someone else does that, and I cannot remember who it is. The emoji is some of the exact same thing. So I wish I could remember who
there's
it was.
There's tears to the labeling, right? You know,
right.
The good ones have the colors.
Right. Oh, gosh, I wish who it was. Anyway, Charlie, how about you?
Yeah, I feel like because I am entering the mode of like trying to stockpile ideas, you know, for whatever the next project is. And I was on a long flight and
it's a great time to do it.
Finally started like going through. And so I just have a folder that's called like promising or something. Mm-hmm. And I only got like maybe a quarter of the way down the list, but it truly is the sensation of like, wow, like I love this idea and I would have absolutely forgotten about it if I didn't go through and listen to every single unlabeled voice memo in there.
And that's, I think, the disadvantage, right, is that if you do label those things, you're going to skip over the ones that may be a nugget because you think they're not good. I have tons of writing. I'm not a songwriter, I'm a prose writer, but I have tons of those ideas. And I go back and I go, actually, that's got some legs. Right. And I probably would have skipped over it if it wasn't marked with three fire engine emojis, right?
Right. And there's like a jolt of excitement that goes along with that. Like, oh, I found this thing and it's like, and it's mine and I made it.
Yeah. I like too to hear versions of like the progression of a songwriting process throughout memos and like hearing songs that were in different forms or whatever. I'm not sure like how often Charlie goes through that, but like a lot of times my songs have just like different versions along the way, and sometimes I'll combine two ideas to make one, and so like hearing those two ideas separately, blah blah blah, is always interesting, and like hearing the lyrics have changed along the way. So that's a fun part too of the deep scroll, is like finding old versions of songs you've put out.
Yeah,
because I think with distance, there's things that you just, it's you're a new person when you look at it, right, aren't you? I mean, even if it's like a year later, a month, like you're not the same person that you were. And so that's the beauty of it, is that that old person may not have liked it, but the new person
loves it.
Loves it. Yeah. And it's so funny because I interviewed Mary Timoney about a month ago, and sometimes people say things that really stick with me. And she said that she has a very specific process. So she writes in the morning and she almost always hates what she writes. And then she waits the whole day. And at the end of the day, she's a new person because of anything that's happened during that day. She's not the same person that she was. So it's a new person literally looking at the end of the day. And right, if the new person likes it, she keeps it. But if the new person hates it, it goes. But right, I love that idea that, you know, you're not the same person that you were even 12 hours ago. Mm-hmm. And so you may respond differently to it.
That's a good practice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, well, I mean, I guess that was one kind of what I want to talk about also is, do you, like, I absolutely use distance as a part of my revision process. I do try to give my, it's funny, I do, like, if I'm writing in this chair, I'll revise in the chair behind me. So I never write and revise in the same place. Like, that's my thing.
Yeah.
Because I think that's important. Yeah.
I think an interesting parallel or like a comparable is to kind of create like some artificial distance to like, and by that I mean like kind of like altering your mind, you know, so you work with no mind altering substance throughout the day, and then at night maybe you do some mind altering substance, whether it's alcohol or other things, and then you revisit it and you kind of have a new brain on. And like, I feel like that's kind of the same thing. It's like switching chairs a little bit. You get a little messed up, and then you see if it makes you smile or not.
Well, Hemingway did say, write drunk, edit sober.
There you go.
That's his famous quote. And I remember there was something in school they were saying that the most, if you study with a buzz, then of course this is not, I guess it could be possible, then you should take those exams in the same emotional state.
Right.
I don't know.
I never applied that. I would come to class stoned all the time, but never took an exam.
That's too much.
Never had the guts.
That's way too much.
So, Charlie, do you, when it comes to, do you do a lot of revision? Are you a heavy reviser? Or do you feel like, well, I guess another way to say that is, and I'm actually, so I have some quotes up here on this screen from writers that I like to read to songwriters. And one of them says, this is H.L. Mencken. This is a great one. I love this. He says, and I'll repeat this. The value of writing seems to be in inverse proportion to the ease of writing. Whatever flows freely and bubblingly turns out to be sorry stuff a week later. So the value of writing seems to be an inverse proportion to the ease of writing. Whatever flows freely and bubblingly turns out to be sorry stuff a week later. So I interpret that to mean, don't trust the stuff that comes too quickly and too easily. You got to be skeptical of that. So Charlie, how do you feel about that quote?
I think it goes both ways. I do think one of my strengths, especially even just like in school and in like day-to-day life is editing. Like my wife's in law school and has like a master's in art history. She's like deeply in the academic world, and like she'll have me edit stuff, which blows my mind. But she claims I'm a great a great editor. In terms of music, I think it can go both ways. Like, I could say some of the best songs I've written came really fast, like poured out, but most of the time that's not how it is. So I kind of have to, I have to hope that it happens successfully both ways.
And are there tricks in the revision process that you do to cut to those? Like, what is your revision process like when it comes to lyrics?
I think maybe me and Will are similar in this way, where it's pretty like melody first and then stream of consciousness, lyrics to fill in. And then you sort of, you write that first verse, and the first verse kind of dictates, you know, what the song is going to be. And then you have the chorus, second verse. The challenge for me is always to not make the second verse better than the first verse. I kind of, you know, I think that happens sometimes where like the song gets maybe better, like the best part is like at the end, and I'm trying to get better at like coming in hot.
Yeah. Are there certain things, and Will, I'm going to ask you this too, but are there, like for me, when I revise prose, when I go to revise, the first thing I look for are prepositions. I know that's different in songwriting, but like that's part of my routine. Like, prepositions are always going to drag my sentences down because it gives you four words when one is probably fine. And so I look for those things. Like, if I think I can't squeeze, and like, so that's actually a specific part of my processes. Do you have something like that that you do when it comes to lyrics, where you're looking for things, or maybe something specific like that?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with the trimming, you know, trimming the fat, like always just trying to be as minimal and impactful as I can. But with songwriting especially, it's all about like how it sings. And, you know, I have certain words that I think I gravitate to because of the way they sing, like words like take, or, you know, just cutting nice words like that. I think especially in the initial process, like the stream of consciousness, like I probably have a million songs that start a verse, or at least in the demo, the verse starts with take, you know, or like cut, or like something like that. And then eventually try to grow, try to add more, you know, find new words like that. But yeah, it is a lot of trimming away and replacing, you know, vague words with more detailed words, et cetera.
Yeah, that's great. Will, how about you? Any part of specific revision process that you have?
Yeah, there's a lot of word editing, I would say, and there's a handful of times even that I was going to change lyrics on a song on this new record and just didn't. And now I like it. But I think there is a big part of revisiting the lyrics and shaping and, you know, like reshaping it, finding new words. And I think that all tends to happen pretty quick. And if I don't do it like in the first day or two of writing the song, then I don't really ever change it. And I think the editing process is really important to make, you know, your song as impactful as possible. And to not, I mean, like Charlie says, I can't think of mine right now, but there's words that I put in every single song, you know, that should probably be reshaped, you know? So taking the extra time to go through is important. But on the other hand, like y'all were talking about earlier, I feel like it is a common thing you hear, whether it's on a songwriting podcast or whether it's on an artist interview, where it's like, oh, the biggest hit of my career, we wrote it in 4 minutes. And I didn't, you know. And I think there's some truth to that, and that, you know, the like not overthinking things is a really important idea to keep in the back of your head, to just kind of roll with what falls out often. And I feel like there's not a lot of pressure on us as songwriters to be grammatically sound And, you know, I say like made up words sometimes that sound country or like that, like, or like I say like the wrong tense of a word and just know it's wrong and don't really care.
Yeah.
And so there's not really that like technical pressure on us per se, like there might be on you. And so it goes both ways, I think.
I love that you know that about your process, that you said if you don't do it quickly, it's not going to happen. So,
right.
So do you actually, are you aware of that? Like, does that, when you finish, do you go, I better get this done quickly, because if I don't in the next day or two, it's not going to happen?
I think I realized that over the last year.
Yeah.
And it was kind of too late. Like, yeah, I mean, like, now moving forward, I'll have that more dialed in. But I think it's something I realized when, once this record was done, because I'm hearing these lyrics, I'm like, oh yeah, I was definitely going to change that lyric. And I just never did. And there's also times where like the recording session kind of sneaks up on you and you didn't really have time to change it or something. Like, and you're just like, well,
yeah,
let's do it. It's just is what it is. Just go with it.
I love those stories. I mean, I remember I interviewed, this is like 10 years ago, Paul Banks of Interpol. And I remember he said, like, he always gets criticized for having these lyrics that make no sense. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, I will do anything for the sake of the melody. Like, the meaning is secondary. And that's why I say I have these lines that no one really understands, because it doesn't matter to me. The melody rules and the meaning is almost secondary. Okay, so a couple more questions. So, and I'll, again, for both of you, Will, we'll start with you. I get a lot of ideas. And I remember there was an article in the Washington Post about this, about why we get our best ideas in the shower. And creative types often talk about the ideas are coming to you when you're engaged in some kind of unconscious activity. So, and I think the number of times songwriters have told me they get ideas when they are doing things that require no thought. So folding clothes, doing laundry, gardening, vacuuming, that's when the ideas happen. They don't happen right when you sit down. They happen when you're bored. So right. Is that a fruitful time for you?
There are definitely moments where, or speaking of voice memos, there are a lot of voice memos that have just words and a melody. And it's like really, it's actually like returning to is like very difficult to figure out like what possible key I'm in, like what is going on. I'm just kind of like singing something. So that does happen, but I wouldn't call it fruitful. I think I'm usually inspired by like hearing a new thing I like or hearing a song and hearing like a song that's like truly like great and timeless. I feel like is the automatic thing for me, where it's like, you know, I was kind of late to starting to listen to Bruce Springsteen, and I have started listening to him a lot more, and just some of his songs like really did wreck me over the last year and inspired a lot of the songwriting for this record. And I feel like it was just like hearing something incredible, hearing a recording that's wonderful, and just like wanting to be great like that. And usually that comes with intention. So like the passive hit smash that like comes to me is maybe not quite as often.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Charlie, how about you?
You know, I'd say there are days, like recently I wrote, you know, a chord progression, kind of the structure for a song that I'm really excited about. Like, and so like the melody and like this, the song itself is sort of like got stuck in my head. So like all day I'm sort of, it's just like the wheels are turning, and mm-hmm. if some clarity around like a certain lyric occurs, I'll just like jot it down or memo it. But I'm definitely not like out, you know, walking around with the notebook, you know. I'm it's so tied to melody and like physically having the guitar or sitting at the piano that, you know, I feel like I have good ideas about like other stuff in my life while I'm in the shower, not so much music related.
Right. So, okay. So I want to follow up, because you said guitar, and again, these answers vary so much, but songwriters tell me that some of them have to walk around when they have the guitar. Some of them have to be sitting. So
like being on the phone, kind of like, no, do you walk when you're on the phone?
Yeah, just no, yeah. they're playing the guitar. Okay. Like they can't be sitting and playing. They've got to be walking and playing as they have their guitar and they're going through those melodies. So I don't know, Charlie, have you ever thought about that before? Whether that matters?
I do love standing. I do feel like that is when, and just sort of pacing, this is like my little workspace here. And like, I stand and I look out the window. I'm a big looking out the window person. and yeah, I just truly will sit or stand. I recently on tour, I threw something off with my neck. I like backed the van down like a half mile stretch of like narrow alley. And it kind of fucked me up for a couple weeks. So I was like not able to do my like youthful, like head down, you know, bad posture guitar process. You know, I used to just would sit here, you know, just like this for an hour, you know, and not feel a thing. But now I gotta be more mindful or get better at guitar so I don't have to like look down.
I love that when I have these conversations and people like all of a sudden this epiphany of, oh, actually that is a part of my process, but I never really realized it before. You know, I always have that awareness when I talk about these things, I actually do that thing. And I guess I do a lot. So maybe I should do that thing more.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So exactly.
Okay. Last question. So I do find that songwriters are voracious readers for the most part. So I'd love to talk reading habits. Will, we'll start with you. Do you like to read? How much do you get to read? Who do you like?
I don't read a ton. I really like to read short stories and have done a lot of, you know, the classic, like the Ernest Hemingway short stories are really nice. And, Richard Ford's great as well. I'm pretty limited. I get most of my book tastes from our bass player, Ben Littlejohn, who's also the journaler, but he's a crazy reader. I don't think Charles and I are very insane readers, but I do like to read about things on the internet. Like I'm on Wikipedia a lot. the most unreliable source in the world. No, I'm a fleeting reader. I like to read blurbs. I like to read quick things, and I don't sit down a lot. And the only time I really do find myself being able to read a book kind of quickly is on the road.
Yeah.
On tour.
Well, short stories are good because you can finish one in the sitting.
Exactly.
I mean, if you're busy, it could take you 2 months to read a novel. And then I feel like half that time I'm spending going back to the last 10 pages to catch up to where I was. Exactly. I just finished reading The Best American short story anthology of 2023, or I forgot, I think it was 20, maybe it's 2022 that I did.
Yeah.
And I love that because it's all different voices. And I've never been an author person. So people ask who my favorite authors are. I don't really do that. When I finish someone, my first thought is, let me get another voice in my head
that
looks different. Not let me read from the same.
Or that.
Right. Yeah, more of that. But that's just me. But some people are devour once they hear read one person, they have to devour everything by that person. So
yeah.
Charlie, how about you? Wikipedia or no?
Yeah, no. I mean, it's funny. I used to be like pretty entrenched in kind of that academic mode. I majored in philosophy at UT and was an avid reader while I was in undergrad and like years following. My guys were, but I was kind of like, I was more of a completist, you know, like I was like, all right, Walker Percy, like I'm obsessed with this guy. I'm going to read every single book, like Jim Harrison, big one. I read a lot of Hemingway. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like in recent years, it takes me forever to get through a book. And a lot of times what I'm reading is like pop stuff, like Franzen or like Murakami or, you know, things like that.
But that's great writing, though. I mean,
it's incredible. Oh, yeah. I love it. But it's like, I used to be like, I need to read the classics. Like,
yeah,
right.
I'm reading like Kierkegaard and, you know,
just in the trenches out there.
I mean, I joke that I studied philosophy just to make just to make damn sure that I wanted to be a musician.
Seriously. Those 15 line sentences and those German philosophers. No, I think they're right. I mean, I it's funny you say that, because I think there are people like Stephen King, who's a great writer, but it's almost like, and Joyce Carol Oates is another one, where you feel like, if you get too much in the public consciousness, there's less quality, which doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But people still have that idea.
Yeah, optimism is at an all-time high. I feel like that the idea that popular things are not cool or less good, I feel like it is a dying thought, maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's true or not.
And that's it for today's podcast. Don't forget my book, Desolation, a Heavy Metal Memoir by Mark Morton with Benno Papari, that is me, comes out June 25th on Hachette Book. It is available for pre-order everywhere, including on my site, songwritersonpodcast.com. Mark is a good friend and the guitarist, one of the guitarists in the band Lamb of God, and we tell one hell of a story about his life. It's a great memoir. Of course, I'm biased, but I'm very excited for all of you to read that. Speaking of the site, songwritersonpodcast.com, that's where you'll find all of the podcast episodes, as well as on all major streaming platforms. The podcast is not that old. It's only, I think, from 2022. Before that, I transcribed all of the interviews in print, but online. And so there's about 200 interviews with songwriters transcribed on the site as well, just about the songwriting process. If you want to read them, they are also there. And I'm always open for suggestions, comments, complaints. Who would you like me to interview? Email me at ben@songwritersonprocess.com or go to the form on the website, fill it out, and I will try to get back to you. I always love hearing from you and your suggestions. So, until next time, everyone, have a great day.